Good morning, church family, and everyone tuning in with us this morning at EMBC. There is nothing better than worshipping God and celebrating the truth that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. And we've got some amazing things happening this morning. The worship playlist and the family church resources should be on the website. Go and check them out. We've got the Mitchell family leading us in some worship, and Mark's going to be sharing with us a word from Scripture. And it was great last week to see and hear from the wider church what they've been up to during the lockdown. So we have some more updates for us just now. We're going to hear from Jenny, Daniel, Hazel and the Engel family just now.
Well, hello, church family. Mark talked recently about giving thanks and how that can help build resilience. And I suppose one of the things that I've been really enjoying is giving thanks from a balcony and enjoying my balcony garden at this time. I'm enjoying watching seedlings grow and giving thanks that every day there's something to be thankful about. Maybe it's just giving thanks for flowers, or it's given thanks for the sunshine that we've had recently, or the birds singing. There's always something that we can give thanks for during this time.
Hiya, my name's Daniel. I'm currently working in the police amidst this coronavirus outbreak. Mark just asked me to share briefly about what I've been doing and some prayer requests for us as well. Things have certainly been different. The calls we're going to have been as normal, but there has been quite an increase in some areas, in particular domestic incidents, and also mental health incidents have increased quite a lot. Lots of people are struggling being by themselves and isolated from friends and family, and they're starting to struggle quite a lot with anxiety, depression, and also suicidal thoughts. So I definitely appreciate your prayers for us for wisdom and how we engage with these people and try and help them in the different situations that they're in. And also just for protection for each of us. Some of the guys I'm working with have family members with health conditions. So just for protection that we wouldn't be catching this virus from anybody that we deal with at work and then taking it home to family members. So thank you for your prayers, very much appreciated, and stay safe. Take care.
Hiya, my name's Hazel and I am a staff nurse at the Royal Hospital for Children in Glasgow. I'm based in the Clinical Decision Unit, which is next to A&E. We have quite significantly changed the way that we're working just now. That was pretty stressful at first, but now that we've kind of got into the groove of it, it's not too bad. We are quite quiet actually because our numbers have significantly reduced. People are just not coming to E&E like they used to, and I guess because it's children as well, there's maybe just less COVID affecting them. Although we have had some, we've had some positives that have gone home and that have needed admission, but generally speaking, we're okay at the moment, and we've got PPE, plenty of it. CDU is essentially a red area. We are taking the sickest potential COVID patients, thankfully just not that many. I would value your prayers because I'm very much on the front line, and I would love for you to pray for protection mentally and physically, not just for myself but for my colleagues and for the families that we're coming home to. I do not see myself as a superhero. I'm just doing my job, but I do very much value your prayers. Thank you so much.
Hi. Every Sunday we do Teddy Church in our house, and we started 6 weeks ago with tiny little seeds. And now after 6 weeks they've grown into big plants. So today we're going to have communion, and we're also going to learn about planting seeds in good soil. We miss you all very much and can't wait to see you again soon.
Bye. Thank you all so much for sharing. It's great to hear how God's at work, what you've been up to over the lockdown. And if you want to share one Sunday morning, if you make a recording of yourself, 30 seconds to 1 minute, what you've been up to, how God's been at Work in Your Life and send that in to myself, David, or Mark. God is good. He's at work. He's our perfect Heavenly Father. And it's great to worship him. And the Mitchells are now going to lead us in a time of worship. And Mark is going to share with us a word from Philippians.
Morning from the Mitchell House. We're going to lead you in a couple of songs this morning. But first of all, I'd like to read a verse that's just stood out to me this week. And it's from John 16. And in this passage, it's just before Jesus is crucified, and he's just told his disciples that he's going to be going to be with his Father and that he'll be sending the Holy Spirit. But they're confused, they don't really understand what's happening. And in verse 33, Jesus says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world, and our faith is in him. And as Christians as well, we are overcomers in Jesus. And 1 John 5 verse 4 says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." So have peace, take heart, Jesus has overcome.
Thank you.
Father, thank you that I am in Christ and that all things are placed under his feet. Thank you that I have nothing to fear, knowing his victory is my victory, because I am your child.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Hello everyone, and a big thank you to the Mitchells for leading us in our time of worship together. Let me encourage you tonight between 6:30 and 7:30 p.m. we're doing our first ever Zoom corporate prayer meeting, and if you want to know how to get into that, then ping either Albert or myself and we'll help you with that. Today we come to look at our third message from the book of Philippians. And as we prepare to open our heart to God's word, let's pray together. Father God, many are the thoughts and concerns that we have today. And so we hand them over to you. And we quieten our hearts and our minds as we get ready to hear from you. So speak now into our lives, Holy Spirit. Minister into our lives now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are in Philippians chapter 1 from verse 27 to Philippians chapter 2 verse 11. But we'll really primarily be focusing on Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. And we're going to see that the church in Philippi is facing some challenges and some issues, Paul moves away from informing them of his own situation to dealing with some of the things that are going on within this local church. And he encourages them in unity. He encourages them that they are stronger together. And he gives them in this text, as we'll see today, the foundations of their shared unity, but also the steps in how to keep growing in unity. Now, it's really important to say at the outset, this is not Paul coming up with some new innovation or some new clever idea around the whole theme of unity. This is Paul, in many ways, expressing the heart of Jesus. In John 17, Jesus prays that they would be as one. And so Jesus' heart is for unity. And Paul is expressing that in these words that we're going to look at today. You know, when you think about our own church and the church across the world, we're very different. We come from different backgrounds, circumstances, nationalities. But every local church is stronger together. And the message that was given to that Philippian church is the same for us today. United, you are stronger. You're stronger because you can support each other. You're a stronger example and witness of the good news of Jesus Christ. So this, of course, speaks very powerfully as well into our situation today. We're still in lockdown. We're waiting to hear what will happen. And maybe you're struggling with isolation. Maybe you're many concerns that you've got. You know, I was down at the church on Wednesday this week, just checking the mail. And I came in on my bike and, you know, everything was shut up. The village centre was closed. The church was all shut up. And I felt really sad in my heart. And I thought, you know, this is not good. And we need to be praying for breakthrough. We need to be praying for a stop of the spread of this virus. We need to be praying for a vaccine. And then when I was thinking about our own situation, I was then thinking about across the world and reading some stuff about just for the most vulnerable and the most poor in the world, just some of the terrible challenges that this is bringing into their lives on top of already very challenging circumstances. And so I was thinking more than ever, the church needs to be together, you know, stronger together to face the challenges that the world is facing just now and to support our communities that we're part of. So if you've got a Bible, we're going to get into Philippians, stronger together. Let me walk you through the last few verses of Philippians 11. Verse 27 then of Philippians chapter 1. Paul starts with the phrase, whatever happens. And that is a phrase that we can identify with today. You know, what's going to happen? Many of us are asking that. Paul goes on, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. There's the call to unity. Stand firm, strive together in one spirit as one. Verse 28, Paul says, without being frightened — that's a word, frightened, it's a word that you would use to describe a horse that had bolted in fear. So he says to them, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is the context. Paul is revealing to us that they are facing persecution. And then he says, this is a sign to them, that's to those that persecute you, that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. And Paul in many ways is saying, don't be scared. You know, those that folk that persecute you, next to God, they are very small. And this is a sign that you are Christ. As you live for him, he's saying, opposition will come. Then we read on verse 29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ — that's Paul talking about God's grace — not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. And remember the context. Paul is talking here about suffering that comes through persecution. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, back to Acts 16, when the church in Philippi is planted, Paul and Silas beaten up, put in prison, and now you hear that I still have. Paul's writing to them from prison. So they face this shared struggle of persecution. And so Paul now goes on to build on, to encourage them that they are stronger together. And let me read from verses 1 to 4 from chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. The church is stronger together. And Paul here gives us four foundations that unite us and four key practices to keep us growing in unity. But before we get into them, let me try and give you just a little bit of a picture of what Paul is doing here. I remember hearing a story one time of a farmer, and this farmer lived in the foothills of the mountains. And many little streams came together in the mountains to form a small river that ran into his land. He was the first land that this kind of river ran into. And it was a beautiful, crystal clear, kind of fresh mountain river. And it ran into his land and it watered his crops and water for his animals, water for him and his family, and then on into the farm beyond and out. But he fell out with the farmer that was next to him. And he said to himself, I'm not going to let him have any of this lovely water. And so he built a dam. And that beautiful water, it gathered in that dam. But after a time, it started to become stale and it started to become smelly. Now, the disunity between the farmer and him was hurting the both of them. And to stay fresh, the river needed to keep flowing. The man received it, but actually had to let it keep flowing into the lands beyond him for it still to be life-giving. And we're going to see how in God's word, how into your life you receive incredible blessings from God that unite us, that we all share in together. But these incredible blessings need to keep flowing out from us. And we're going to see that ultimately unity ultimately grows through selfless behaviour, through the giving of ourselves. So Paul then is writing to this church to stand firm in the face of persecution. That's a word for us today as well. Stand firm through all that we're going through. And then he goes into what unites them. And firstly, we see that they're united in Christ. I shared this a few weeks ago. That phrase, in Christ, is one of Paul's favourite words for what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Corinthians, you know, in Christ Jesus, you're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And to be in Christ means we're at union with him. It means we share in all that he shares in. He's loved by the Father God. We are loved by the Father God. He's raised to new life. We are and will be raised to new life. And Paul's saying this is what you share in Christ Jesus. Secondly, he says comfort from his love. And central to our unity together is experiencing the perfect love of God in our lives. You know, when did the love of Jesus for you last grip your life? You know, he died for you out of love for you. And we are united, Paul is reminding us, we are united through Christ's sacrificial love. Thirdly, he talks about them sharing in the Spirit. Remember in Acts 2, the disciples are praying together. The Holy Spirit comes upon them and fills them. And that same Spirit lives in us today. And every follower of Jesus, we have this in common. The Spirit of God that is working in your life today is also working in my life today and is working in the life of every believer. Think back to what Paul said in chapter 1, verse 27. Stand firm in the one Spirit. We share the same Spirit of God who indwells each follower of Jesus. And then fourthly, he says, since you know tenderness and compassion. This is a verse that's been much on my heart these days, is the one from Isaiah 42, verse 3, which Jesus himself quotes in Matthew 12. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. You know, last weekend, when we had that lovely weather, we had our fire put out one night. And at the end of the night, to make sure it's out, I will often just pour water over it, just to make sure it's right out. There's no coming back. It's not going to come alight again during the night or anything like that. There's no coming back for the fire. But with Jesus, there's always a way back. We are united by the fact that Jesus has met us and does meet us in our brokenness, and he walks through life with us. We know the tenderness and the compassion of Jesus. You know, none of us have it sorted. Each of us need to be held closely by the Almighty. You need Jesus each day. I need Jesus each day. And this unites us. We each know his tenderness and compassion in our lives. Think back to that illustration of the farmer and his river, and how that flowed into his farmlands. Paul's saying, this is what flows into your life. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are loved with a love that will never cease or never run out. You're the Holy Spirit lives in you, and it's the whole same Holy Spirit in every believer, and he holds you close through all the years, through all the ups and downs, in the midst of a pandemic. His tenderness and compassion are active in your life. There is not a follower of Jesus for whom this is not true. You know, I can remember as a child, sometimes you'd play that games, or you would maybe like collect football cards, and you would, if you had any doublers, you would look to swap them with someone else who didn't have something that you did have. And that's how you kind of play, build up your kind of pack of cards. But Paul is saying here, really, there's nothing to swap. You know, you're in Christ Jesus, I'm in Christ Jesus. You're loved by God, I'm loved by God. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. You know God's tenderness and love, I know God's tenderness and love. We are united through what we have in common, through what we've received. And there's strength in that, and there's unity in that. It's the foundation in our lives of unity. Now, Paul then goes on to say, after he's shared these common foundations, he says, make my joy complete. And that is a phrase that links into the how, into the practices of growing in unity. And again, he gives us some very basic steps here. And again, it comes in four statements. The first is to be like-minded. He talks about being like-minded. And this took me to John 17 in my thoughts, where Jesus prays, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. And the practice of unity requires us to have listening hearts. It requires us to open God's word and be changed by the truth of his word, by applying it to our lives. Now, is Paul talking here when he says about us being like-minded, that we should all agree with each other? I'm not sure, to be honest, I'm not sure that that is what Paul is getting at. I think you can disagree with someone, but at the same time, and disagree almost, how could I put it, gracefully with them. You know, we can share that mind and how we should respond to a disagreement. You know, as God's word sanctifies us, as God's word makes us more like Jesus, we can disagree actually without falling out. Because the truth of God's word, as we're listening to it, as it's changing us, it changes our character. And we have characters that want to pursue unity, which means if there is some disagreement, we might not end up agreeing fully with the person, but we share that like mind of being able to disagree in a way that pursues and keeps unity. We can disagree graciously in a way that brings glory to God. So the practice of unity requires us to be changed as we apply God's word to life, as we listen to the truth of his word and allow our characters to be changed. The second practice to build unity is to show love. He says, have the same love. Jesus loves us unconditionally. And yet when you think about it, so much of our love has conditions attached to it. Some are conscious and some unconscious. You know, I love you if you agree with me. I love you because I like you. I love you because I can get something for you. An unconditional love that we receive from Jesus looks to receive nothing back. And so to grow in unity, and we're going to see this in a few more moments, we need to practice selfless love. And thirdly, we need to have a shared purpose. Paul says, being one in spirit and of one mind. And as I've said there, this for me is about shared purpose in life. It's not always about agreement in every area. I mean, think of Paul and Barnabas. They fell out. These great men of faith fell out. But what did they keep doing? They kept witnessing and they kept making disciples. They had that shared purpose. You know, more than ever, I think today, we need to be celebrating what each different local church is doing. Not critical, not competing, but celebrating. You know, when we hear what other churches are doing, we need to be like, wow, that's great what you're doing. Because we have a shared common purpose to go into this world and make disciples. This unites us, every church in East Kilbride, every church in Lanarkshire, in Scotland, in the United Kingdom, in Europe, across the world. We are united by this shared purpose to make disciples, to share the good news of Jesus. And so we need to keep that main purpose in front of us because it unites us. And when we're focused together on that purpose, it grows unity. And then fourthly, Paul says, in humility, value others above yourself. The fourth practice is to be humble. Paul here gives us a contrast when you look at your text between selfish ambition and vain conceit. He contrasts that against humility and putting others and the interests of others first. Wow, this is so hard. To build unity, we are to count others more important than ourselves. You know, our individualistic culture almost vomits at these words. This is so hard. And this is why Paul gives us the best example the world has ever or will ever see of this. You know, verse 5, let your attitude be the same as Jesus Christ. We looked at this during our Advent season, but I just want to read these words to you. This is Paul saying, let your attitude be the same as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's that sacrificial love for each of us. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Christ put himself before us. He is the perfect example of humility. And Paul is saying, you know, we are stronger together. He gives the foundations to this. He gives some steps to this. And why did he do this? Let me remind you again, this just wasn't some great idea that Paul had in his life. No, much, much more deeper than that. This is the heart of Jesus. This is John 17, verse 21, that all of them would be one. It's John 13, where he said, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus knew the powerful witness of a united church. I read a quote this week that said this: unity is not simply the work of the Spirit, but the very instrument through which the Spirit works. Jesus understood that a united, Spirit-empowered church would draw people to it. This isn't just some notion of Paul. This is the very heart of Jesus, that the local church would be a blessing into the local community, and the power of the Spirit flows through the unity of a local church. So then, as we come back, just to close, the church in Philippi, you know, they had much to be frightened about. They faced real persecution. And today, there are many things that, if we're all being honest, frighten us. I myself have to stop my mind at times going down a rabbit trail. You know, what if I catch this? What if someone near Morn or the girls, you know, and just have to pull myself back from that place. And Paul says, stand firm, strive together as one, in one spirit. And he expounds on that. You know, he expounds on what we share together. We're united in Christ, in his love, through the Holy Spirit. We know his tenderness and comfort. And then he says, therefore, grow in unity. You know, listen to God. Be led by the truth of his word. You know, seek a character. Grow a character. Let God change your character into one that seeks more and more the beauty of unity. You know, we want to love without conditions. We want to be united round a common purpose. And we want to have that selfless attitude. This is a journey and a work of the Spirit in our lives that we are on. But we are stronger together. And we're seeing it in these days. You know, people are coming together like never before. You know, God's people coming together. We're seeing it across the world. We're seeing brothers and sisters standing alongside each other and supporting each other at times. We're seeing local communities coming together. We're seeing the church engaging and supporting its community in very small, unheard of, but high impact ways. But people are looking to help, but not looking to get anything back, that selfless desire to help. But we have seen this morning, today, that the Spirit-filled United Church draws people to it. And so as we come to a close now, I want you just maybe, we're just going to take a moment to firstly reflect again on what flows into your life. You're in Christ Jesus. You know the comfort of his perfect love. You know that his Holy Spirit is within you. You know that his tenderness and compassion is there for you. And what is amazing, we all share this together. So let's just take pause for just 30 seconds or so and just remember the blessing that flows into your life this morning from God. And then we remember that picture of the farmer who built the dam. He thought he would keep it to himself. You know, what we receive is to flow out into the community that we are part of. And so maybe you just want to pray and bring to God in your own life now. Just ask him to build that character within you that desires unity, to take you on a journey where love becomes more selfless, to show you the shared purpose that you have with brothers and sisters in Christ. And if those walls have come up, for those walls to come down, and to seek to be humble by looking to Jesus. And so, Father God, we just ask this now. We ask that through your Spirit, you would be at work in each of our lives. Lord, you have spoken into our lives this morning so much today about what it means to have you in our lives, the blessings that you pour into our lives, but also so much of how we are to take these things and how we are to live out unity, Father. And Lord, it's tough, but I pray that as we are opening the truth of your word, we would be listening, and through the power of your Spirit, you'd be taking your word and changing our characters. Lord, I pray that you would as we think about your incredible love for us, that so we would look to love others without conditions. Unconditional love, Lord. Lord, we pray that we would realise that, yes, there are differences and we've got different views in this and different thoughts in this, but we are united around that great rallying cry of the church to go into the world and make disciples. And Lord, we look to do this through humble hearts. And Jesus, we thank you that you are our perfect example. Thank you that you were willing to humble yourself, to be obedient even to death on the cross. We thank you for your sacrificial love that we all share. And we worship you now, exalted above all. We bow before you and we declare you our King and our Lord. And we just ask today that your Spirit would continue to fill us each afresh and be at work in each of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name now. Amen. I'm going to hand you back to Rory now, but have a good week. And remember tonight, 6:30, 7:30, if you want, join us for our Zoom corporate prayer time, where we will lift up a cry to our God and just bring all the challenges of coronavirus to him together as a local church family. God bless you in your day ahead.
Thanks so much to everyone that was involved in today's service. It's great to be church, to have church in this way. If we remember that tonight we've got a live prayer time from 6:30 over Zoom, the link to join that Zoom chat has went out over the EMBC WhatsApps, but if you're not part of any WhatsApp, if you privately message the East Mains Baptist Church Facebook page, we'll be able to send you that link through Messenger and you could click and join us tonight. But for today and for the rest of this week, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. God bless.